broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 28th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, that is one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution and we promote restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. Wow, we had two incredible broadcasts, one on Friday, one on Saturday. And the Friday broadcast was incredible. We had Chris Carlson with us. With God, well, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The fight for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. We had a discussion of all things liberty with Chris. And we talked about, can you connect the dots and start to see the big picture? Yeah, Black Lives Matter has billions of dollars, of unaccounted for money after leaders jump ship. Andrew Kerr with the details. We talked about the allegory of the post turtle. Just as turtles don't climb up posts and perch themselves on top, people just don't come out of nowhere, create multi-million dollar, whatever you want to say here, in revenue and everything else, and organizations then all of a sudden just bail from the scene and no one's in charge. No one knows where the money is. No one knows what's going on. That's what we're led to believe when it comes to Black Lives Matter. It's an absolute Black Lives Matter in this case, sad to say. All right, we all just talked about Black Lives Matter has billions of unaccounted for dollars, ladies and gentlemen. No one appears to have been charged in the Black Lives Matter situation for months. The address it lists on tax forms is wrong. Wow. And the charity's two board members won't say where the $60-plus million, in this case, bankroll is. Black Lives Matter fundraising campaigns, well, I guess who's in charge of those campaigns, has been handled by a terrorist on its board. I kid you not, that's according to Washington Examiner. We also talked about Alicia Garza, one of three co-founders of the Black Lives Movement, has talked about convicted cop killer known as Asada Shekar is one of her main inspirations. Folks, it's crazy. In fact, JetBlue even apologizes for honoring cop killer for Black History Month, that article written by Craig McCarthy. JetBlue literally paid tribute to a cop killer as part of its Black History Month tribute. Yeah, they were forced to apologize for the boondoggle. Joanne Chesimer is her name, also known as Asada Shekar. I guess was featured in the exhibit for 21 days before a viewer, a passenger, caught it and went, "What the heck?" Anyway, JetBlue forced to deal with this. Shekar was described on the post as a civil rights activist, and also read many people believe Shekar to be a political champion that is innocent of the charges. The criminal accusation against her. The problem with that is convicted already and escaped from prison, exiled to Cuba, this lady. An airline spokesperson told the Post, hey, the poster was just part of a ready-made batch of posters to help us celebrate Black History Month provided by a third party. So we're sorry about that. That was hour one on Friday. Hour two, we had Dr. Scott Bradley with us, freedomsrisingsun.com, and we talked about the stock markets plummeted on Thursday after Russia invaded Ukraine. Moscow relies on the money it makes by selling oil and gas. But the Russian sanctions that everybody's putting on isn't even messing with the oil and the gas pipelines, folks. We're literally just having political games being played while the military-industrial complex cranks up. What an unjust war on all counts. Why don't we just stay out of it, ladies and gentlemen? We also talked about is Ukraine a repeat of Afghanistan. Here's the single most important thing Biden can do to counter Putin's former security. They say all we got to do is have the government of the United States crank up our energy reserves and start exporting energy big time. Well, you know what? That's what the conservatives say. Dr. Scott Bradley and I articulate that as wrongheaded, to say the least. That's a bad idea. Why? Because we don't need to engage in fascism or socialism or whatever to engage the world. Why don't we get the government off all the land that it has no authority to control? Let the people have the land back, as the good Lord intended, and let the people then export if they want to or not, or etc. What we need is the free market. We don't need a managed market the Republican way. That's a big old lie, or the conservative way. That's the last thing we need. That's a recap of Friday's show. On Saturday, Sam summarizes his personal health battle and sounds off on both hours, providing his personal opinions on solutions to fight COVID. We talked about medical-grade oxygen is considered a drug. Why? Yeah. Why do you need a prescription for an oxygen concentrator? Why do you need a prescription for oxygen at all? What are Teslan pearls, you ask? They're a non-narcotic cough medicine that numbs the throat and lungs. Yeah, they also use Teslan pearls for reasons that are not in this guide, they say. We talked about in the second hour, lactated ringers. What are they? It's a prescription medicine used as a source of electrolytes and calories, etc., to help with hydration. Why can't we have electrolytes? Why does it have to be a controlled thing in a hospital? For Sam, oil of oregano proves to be a valuable ally against SARS and the COVID Omicron variant. Dishonestly, vaccine and mask mandates are being dropped precipitously across the United States. New national vaccine pass quietly being implemented. 200 million can already access records. Bob Unruh, WND.com. A national vaccine pass, not a passport, it's a pass, quietly rolls out, and believe it or not, red states are getting on board big time. This is essentially a COVID card that people get at their leisure, at their convenience, because it's their own record. Will you be getting the national vaccine pass? Not. Vitamin D deficiency was linked to worse health outcomes for COVID patients. If you have vitamin deficiency, you're in trouble. We've been telling you to get more vitamin D right from the start. It's an obvious solution that your government has left out. Anyway, bottom line is beware of this pass, ladies and gentlemen. It's a QR code pass. And what they're doing is they're having companies like pharmacies and the like, testing centers, etc., pass out this pass. You're not forced to get it. It's not a passport, but they're just offering it to you. Hey, lol, if you want to get a pass, all you got to do, my friend, is just sign here. And then they give you a QR code. And then when the QR code's scanned, it brings up your record that says, hey, you're vaccinated or not. Or if so, which vaccination, when you got vaxxed. Or if you're not a vaxxer, then it's your test of negative or whatever else. Don't worry. No other health information is tied to it. You can volunteer. And Americans are signing up for this thing in droves, even in red states all over the country. It is dangerous because all they got to do is let you politely sign up, call it a national de facto, and then close the barn door once you're, well, once you're one of the pigs and you've been fed long enough, they'll put the fences around you, right? I'm telling you, it is disaster. And that's a recap of both days on your radio. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, my friend.
I'm good to be with you.
What do you think of that pass?
That's devious. I had not heard about the pass. That's news to me. I appreciate your bringing that to our attention.
Yeah, they're saying it's just a QR code, buddy. It's no big deal. Come on.
Yeah, man, it'll be enticing, you know. And then
just a QR code, super simple. There's no real, threat of your personal or medical or any information, because it's just this one page with just if you're vaxxed or not, and if so, by whom, what vaccine, when did you get it, or if not, I mean, it's got your name and your birthday. It's got a couple of things, but nothing really. Lol, it's, I mean, you know, I mean, just think how easy it'll be to go to the Jazz game if you have that thing, buddy.
Yeah, you can just sneak right in. It'll be so convenient. Right. People will clamor for it, and then once everybody gets used to the idea, well, I guess most everybody gets used to the idea, then they'll make it mandatory. They'll say, hey, this pass works so well, we need to, you know, make sure and keep make everybody have one so that we can stop this awful coronavirus from spreading, right?
Well, this is volunteer. This is not a forced passport. This is not a mandate. This is just a pass. You don't have to have one if you don't want to, lol, but you know what? You can't get into the game without it. Sorry. Private sector can choose what they want, don't you know?
Yeah. Well, I wonder how that squares with HB 60, which is a Utah measure being considered in the legislature right now that would prohibit the vaccine passports. I wonder if it would prohibit this vaccine pass.
It won't. Nope, it won't. In fact, if you study Utah carefully, you find out they're backing this card. It's a smart card deal. Because it's just a QR code, and they say it can be digital or printed out on paper. Doesn't matter. That code can appear anywhere. And since there's no mandate behind it, nothing prohibits it. There's already pharmacies all over Utah, CVS and others, that are already giving the cards out. This is accessible to 200 million Americans already.
Wow. Not good, Sam.
Backdoor betrayal is what I call it. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson on your radio in mere seconds.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Utah legislature still in session. Boy, the reign of terror continues. Speaking of that, HB 11, which we warned about, approved by Senate committee. Lowell?
Sam, last week on Wednesday, I attended the Senate Business and Labor Committee meeting where HB 11 was under consideration, and it narrowly won approval on a 4-3 vote. There were two members of the committee absent, but four people voted for it. Interestingly, four of the four who voted for it were all Republicans. two of the three that voted against it were Democrats. You know, not that that should matter. I was just sort of amazed that that vote went that way.
Yeah, the reason it goes that way is because you're talking partisan politics right now. The two who weren't there was probably on purpose as well. That's already 2/9 of the discussion. Four were for it, three were against it. You know, it's a very partisan issue, and it just depends on who takes up an issue on which side decides to oppose it. It's all fun and games to these people.
Well, and now it's on the second reading calendar in the Utah Senate. What that means is that the whole Senate will vote on it two more times. Once when it comes up from the second reading calendar, and if it gets approval there, goes to the third reading calendar, and then they'll vote on it for the second and last time in the full Senate. And if it gets approval there, then it goes to the governor's office for his signature.
Because the point is, because the House already passed it.
That's right. It originated in the House where it passed by a vote of 52-16. And then now it's got a 4-3 vote in the Senate committee. And it'll soon be voted on early this week by the entire Utah Senate. And because this is the last week that the Senate will be in session, you know, Utah House and the Utah Senate, this is the final week of terror. You can bet that there will be suspending rules right and left, and they may not even have to vote on it twice. Maybe they'll vote on it just once. But there will be a time this week, at least once, when the full Senate will vote on this bill. And, you know, I was so disappointed in the Senate committee that last night I wrote them a letter, an email, and sent it to them, making sure that they all knew that this is sitting on the Senate second reading calendar at position number 26, and that it will be up for a vote sometime early this week. I urge my senator and his colleagues to vote against the bill. And why vote against it? Well, I gave him four reasons, Sam. It's dangerous for girls, it's unfair to girls, it's abusive to girls, and it's unnecessary. Why is it dangerous? I said, well, the bill would endanger girls because of the damage that could be done to a female athlete in a collision of players, like on the soccer pitch or on the basketball court, for example. Because everyone knows that males, on the average, are physically bigger, stronger, heavier, and faster than females. I mean, that's well-understood fact. Everybody acknowledges it. That's why it's dangerous. Because you get both
boys
and girls.
By the way, who acknowledges it the most are the girls that are on the field.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Whatever the playing venue is, the court, the whatever, right?
Uh-huh. And so that's why it's dangerous. It's physically dangerous for our young ladies involved in all-female sports to be competing with males. Now, it's also unfair. This bill would allow a male to compete in an all-female sport if approved by the new commission called the School Activity Eligibility Commission. This is just a group of people appointed by various political people to serve on this commission. And they get to decide whether or not a boy can participate in an all-female sport. Well, this is unfair to female athletes because it would deprive deserving individuals of the team positions and the scholarships associated with competing in their sport at the collegiate level. We've got stories nationwide, Sam. You probably covered them, where I think Leah Thomas is the name of one of these boys that assumes a girl's identity, and now this Leah Thomas is winning all the swim meets, winning all the competitions, breaking all the records. Because he's a boy, and he's swimming like a boy, and he's just beating all of the girls that he competes against, which deprives the girls of a spot on the team and deprives the girls of the scholarship that ought to be going to them, but instead are going to him, Leah Thomas. So that's a nationwide example. It's one of many, by the way, which demonstrates the unfairness of this particular behavior. So we've established it's both dangerous and unfair. Why is it abusive? Well, it's abusive, Sam, because the bill would permit male and female athletes to mingle you know, together in locker rooms, restrooms, showers, and in hotel rooms when they're traveling overnight. Well, this is abusive because this is an invasion of the privacy that female athletes currently enjoy. Stripping them of this privacy, Sam, is abusive, it's careless, it's irresponsible, it's immoral. There's a lot of adjectives that describe what this is, but in my letter to the senators in the Utah Senate, I said it's abusive, because I think it is. This type of behavior, if you engage in this behavior, you know, outside of this particular arena or venue, then you can be hauled up on criminal charges of abuse, Sam, of the opposite sex, and yet we're allowing it here. We're putting our stamp of approval on it here in this legislation. It's just insane. Okay, so it's dangerous, it's unfair, it's abusive. Now, it's also unnecessary, and this is the major point of my email, Sam. It's unnecessary because the bill sponsors and anybody who votes for it mistakenly believes that the Utah legislature may not prohibit boys from playing on an all-female sports team because the federal courts have enjoined other states that enacted such a prohibition. Well, the bill sponsors are mistaken. People who believe this are mistaken. The Utah legislature is the legislative body in the state of Utah. Therefore, the Utah legislature decides what is and what is not permitted in Utah, not the federal courts. Right? The Utah did not vest with the general government any authority to dictate how sports teams in Utah are composed. And I in my email, I say, I challenge you to show me where the states granted this authority to the general government. And I say, what is not expressly granted in the general government was and is retained by the state or to the people of the state. Basically, it's the 10th Amendment. It's the 9th and 10th Amendment that says anything we don't expressly delegate to the general government, we retain in the people of the state. And so I just challenged them, look, you got to show me where the states granted this authority to the general government, authority to decide who gets permitted to participate in sports in Utah. I just underscored this, saying that neither the president by executive order, neither the Congress by statute, nor the courts by opinion, nor a bureaucratic agency by regulation may do this. They don't have permission. They're not permitted. And so that gets to the heart of the state sovereignty question here, Sam. I say, look, some of you are going to protest that the federal courts have ruled on this issue. And I say back to them, I don't care. Ignore the federal courts on this issue. They do not have jurisdiction in this matter. None. Zero.
Amen. I agree. In fact, the United States court might have got it wrong, but the Scotland courts just came out with a press release that they say, indeed, even if women get gender-bending therapy, hormones and everything else, they are indeed not women. And so you've got international debates on this now. But I would kind of come back and say, I agree with this bill. We should shut down men playing in women's sports. But you know what? Part of the problem is the government creates moral hazard everywhere they go, not only with the decision on the courts in this case, but for the idea in the first place. For example, you know what? Why do we care if men can play in women's sports in government school? All you got to do is shut down the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto and get rid of the government school, and you have no issue now. All you got to do is get your kids out of communism, and you wouldn't have these problems. But see, one problem leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. Whenever government's involved in what they ought not be involved in, it's moral hazard times 1,000. Lil Nelson in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Russian war in Ukraine enters its fifth day. Over the weekend, many countries expanded their sanctions against the Russian aggression. Switzerland, often a neutral country, on Monday is set to review its potential sanctions and asset freezes against Russia. Putin responded to all the pushback by putting his nuclear weapons on high alert. The BBC translates.
Top officials of leading NATO countries are making aggressive statements about our country. Therefore, I'm ordering the Minister of Defense and the Chief of the General Staff to put the strategic nuclear forces on special alert.
Vaccine passports will no longer be required in New York City starting March 7th. Mayor Eric Adams said Sunday he plans on lifting school mask mandates then too, barring major infections. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Water. It's essential to life, but it's also something that so many of us here in America take for granted. Imagine how different your life would be without access to clean water in your home. What if you had to walk to the nearest creek, stream, lake, or pond to get water? Suddenly, going to work and school wouldn't be an option because you and your children would have to spend your days collecting water. This is the day-to-day reality of most families living in the world's poorest countries. But what if I told you that you can change that reality for just pennies a day? Through our water projects, Food for the Poor is working to meet the need for water in 17 impoverished countries. But it won't happen without you. Incredibly, it only takes $15 to provide a child access to clean water for life. $15. Decades and decades of access to water for a child. Give the life-changing gift of water now. Just text USA Radio to 91999. Text USA Radio, all one word, to 91999.
Pennsylvania is pulling Russian alcohol from their shelves in support of the Ukrainian people's desire for freedom.
The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board is directing its stores, called Fine Wine and Good Spirits, to stop buying and selling Russian-sourced products. It's in protest of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. PA Governor Tom Wolf called it a show of solidarity and support for the people of Ukraine and, quote, an expression of our collective revulsion with the unprovoked actions of the Russian state. Wolf joins his counterparts in New Hampshire, Ohio, and Utah in ordering Russian products off the shelves of state-controlled liquor stores. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
The fence around the Capitol building will go back up for President Biden's State of the Union address this week. Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger said that the decision to resurrect the fence was made out of an abundance of caution and in conjunction with the United States Secret Service. Truck convoys arriving in Washington, D.C. about the same time as the State of the Union address is also giving extra concern for security officials. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with Lowell Nelson, ladies and gentlemen. So I agree with you sending an email to the Utah legislature, and I'm against this bill as well. SHB 11, it's disaster. I agree with that, and I would vote against it as well if I were there. But I do believe we ought to step back and look at the bigger picture, though. Hey, the only time the government has all this influence, really, is when they hand out money so they have a carrot to beat people with and a stick. Or at the same time, when it's government school or some government-controlled, mandated whatever. And nine times out of ten, if you didn't have that in the first place, which you ought not have, the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, government school, for instance, you wouldn't even be debating this issue. Because you know what? The private sector could make these goofy ideas, and people could flee to other places and say, no, we're not doing that, thanks. But again, we add insult to injury every time as we get further and further away from the intent of the Founding Fathers, Lowell.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And ultimately, that really is the best solution, just to get your children out of the public schools. I know that you don't have any children of yours in public schools, and I know a lot of families who don't. That needs to become the norm rather than the exception, right? And as people leave mass exodus from the public schools, then the public schools will dwindle. They'll fall to nothing, right? I mean, they won't have the economic strength to sustain their existence, right? There are other reasons why you should flee the public schools. This is just one of many. There's another bill being considered that kicks back against the pornography that's being promulgated in public schools, textbooks and other books that, you know, classic literature, I mean, not classic, but literature books and so forth that are part of the public school curriculum, which are just not appropriate for students to read or to see or to hear. I mean, that's another compelling reason not to have your children in public schools. So you're exactly right, Sam. I fully 100% agree that we ought not have public schools. And if public schools are taking this route, which is an immoral route to go, then the solution really is to exit the public schools, to shut them down and just get out of there.
No doubt about it. But remember, to some degree, ladies and gentlemen, there's the ideal to which I'm pointing to. Then there's the real, which says, hey, vote against this bill. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm okay with the bill by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just pointing out a bigger picture problem that we got to work on as well. The Utah legislature also failed HB 371 in House Committee, Lowell.
That's absolutely true, Sam. And my last thought on HB 11 is that the state legislature, our Utah legislature, has the authority to pass a prohibition. They do have the authority to say, look, males are not going to play on an all-female sports team in Utah, and they can ignore the opinions of the federal courts on the matter because the federal courts has zero jurisdiction in domestic issues such as this. The Utah legislature legalized the use of medical cannabis, for example, despite the federal prohibition on its use. They can do the very same thing here. They can approve a bill that prohibits males from competing on all-female sports teams, just like they did with medical cannabis. That they have the authority to do that, and that's what they should do in this case. Now, in the case of HB 371, Sam, that's a bill that would legalize in-person voting once again in Utah. Today it's illegal because the Utah code says that all elections shall be conducted primarily by mail. We're talking about the U.S. mail, the snail mail. And that is the current language in Utah code. It's currently illegal, basically, to have a primarily all in-person election in Utah. This bill would have changed this. H.R. 371 would have changed that. It would have legalized in-person voting once again in Utah, but it failed in the House Government Operations Committee last Wednesday on a 3-7 vote, despite the fact that hundreds of people were there in favor of this bill. They overflowed the committee room into an overflow. Hundreds of people in both in the committee room and in the overflow standing in favor of this bill. But the representatives refused to listen. Only three of them voted for this bill. Seven of them voted against. So what are we doing? Well, advocates of election integrity, Sam, we are seeking candidates to replace legislators who refuse to address the problems with the election integrity here in Utah. Advocates of election integrity were seeking volunteers to prepare to watch the polling processes in the primary election and in the general election this year. Kind of like what was done in Virginia, where all of these citizen activists became so active and watched the polling locations, watched the various polling processes, so that they minimized the cheating that went on in the general election, the 2020 general election there in Virginia. And it helped. What they did there in Virginia, it helped. And so we're hoping to provide that same help here in Utah. Finally, advocates of election integrity, Sam, are preparing to run an initiative again in 23 that will give citizens ample time to collect 150,000 signatures required to get this common sense election law back on the books. back on the ballot so we can see, so it can be put back on the books. There, Sam, there is a tsunami of interest in this, and the establishment, I believe, is going to be surprised at the breadth and the depth of this movement here in Utah, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there is a filing window, right now, Lowell?
That's right. It opened. It'll open in 20 minutes, Sam, from 8 o'clock this morning until 5 p.m. Friday night. This filing window is open. This is a window of opportunity where you can file for office here in the state of Utah, like as a legislator, for example. So I'm urging our listeners, if they are upset with what's happening in the Utah legislature that's been going on during this, 40 days of this reign of terror, then they should either file themselves to run for office or find someone in their neighborhood who will run for office here in the state of Utah against these people who refuse to recognize the problems with the elections here in Utah, or who voted for HB 11 to allow girls and boys to mingle in locker rooms and showers. And this type of shenanigans going on in Utah schools, right? I mean, if you've got a legislator, if you live in a district, a House district or in a Senate district, where they are not representing your values here in the Utah legislature, then you or the neighbor who you support should file to run for that seat. You know, you become a legislator.
Here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? They passed a bill, or they're in the middle of passing a bill that we absolutely oppose, which is girls being forced to have men in their everything. On the field, in the locker room, in the bathrooms, in the showers, everything. Okay? We're against that, but they're moving ahead anyway. They don't care if we're against it. Then when we're for this HB 371 in an effort to say, hey, let's have precinct voting in person, they're saying, no, let's skip all the precincts and just have vote by mail. The problem is when you skip all the precincts and have vote by mail, you can't really vote watch or vote count, really, not really, okay, because it's all manipulated. The custody of the vote is already destroyed even before the count happens, even if you do a correct count. It's too late and a dollar short is the problem. So when they're for boys and girls sports, and we're against it, and then when they're against voting by precinct, which we're for, this is an example why I call it the reign of terror, ladies and gentlemen. They don't care what you think at all. So it is important that you understand the Utah filing window is open. You have got to get involved, run for office, and replace them, ladies and gentlemen. And when you do, you also got to realize that a lot of these delegates and a lot of these people that are involved as well have a big difference as we go to the Utah precinct caucuses on March 8th. But you know what? The caucuses in Utah have been taking a beating, and the precincts have been taking a beating over a lot of issues in the last several years, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. The biggest beating they took came in 2014 with SB 54, which enabled candidates to get onto the party's primary ballot through a signature pass. That is a huge blow to the caucus convention system, Sam.
They want to get rid of the most local government because they know that's where we have the most authority, ladies and gentlemen. You got to bring it back. We got to get involved. When we come back, we're talking Russia and Ukraine on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson with me. So bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, the filing window is open now. Well, just in a couple of minutes. By the time you get down there, it would be. And you need to really run for office, folks. They're absolutely betraying us at every turn. They don't care what we say. They're paying attention to lobbyists and bureaucrats, and they're really trying to move up the, quote, ladder. They're really trying to. We've got to replace them, and there must be enough of us to do so. Also, the Utah precinct caucuses are on March the 8th. Once again, they're trying to destroy precincts at every level. They don't mind if you go in spirit, as long as you can't get anything done there. For the most part, they're fine with that. It's a manipulation, though. Anyway, I digress. Any final point on that, Lowell?
No, that's great, Sam. Yeah, we have training on the people here in Utah on how to get elected at caucus. If you've never been to a caucus, then find a training session near you and get trained so that you get familiar with the process. It'll be helpful. It'll help you get elected, and or if you go there to support your neighbor to get elected, it'll help them. These trainings are being held Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, pretty much all this week. You just need to, you know, find one and attend. It'll help you get elected as a delegate, Sam.
All right, Paul Craig Roberts, once again, spot on, Lowell.
About Ukraine, yep, he is. You know, Sam, Paul Craig Roberts was a former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury and a former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal. He writes a column pretty much every day or two, at least every week, and often his columns are posted at lourockwell.com. He has what you call maybe a mainstream perspective on the events. I mean, he recognizes the foibles and the weaknesses of the mainstream. He doesn't parrot the mainstream. I'm not saying that. But every single column is a hard-hitting column talking about the problems with the mainstream perspective on things. So he even though he served like in the mainstream for like the Wall Street Journal, he has a liberty-minded perspective on stuff. I really appreciate his opinion. And in this column, he's talking about Ukraine-Russia conflict. And he's saying that Ukrainian resistance seems to have ceased as its infrastructure was put out of operation. So he's recognizing that Russia now controls the airport at Kiev. The troops, the Ukrainian troops have been cut off from Lviv on the west and Kiev in the central part of the state. They've lost most of their air defense, their navy, the military airports. And with the destruction of 83 military facilities, the infrastructure of the Ukraine military has been wiped out. Ukraine will be required to renounce NATO membership. So, in other words, he's predicting what's going to happen now. Ukraine will be forced to demilitarize and renounce all claims to Crimea and the independent republics, those two republics on the east side of Ukraine that are populated mainly by ethnic Russians. Ukrainian soldiers will most likely be permitted to return home to their families. Unlike the Americans and NATO, the Russians have avoided attacking any civilian areas and the barracks and residences of military units. Turns out that Germany stopped the approval process for the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline between Russia and Germany, a $10 billion project. German defense officials admit they are toothless and have no capability of sending troops even to protect NATO members, much less Ukraine. And Putin said that war criminals will be held accountable, and he probably means it, Sam. So there's the picture painted by Paul Craig Roberts. It's coming to pass right before our eyes. We mentioned last week's show, Sam, that the real reason that that we have a problem in Ukraine is because the U.S. regime has a problem with Nord Stream 2, which is a gas pipeline between Russia and Germany. That would be a win-win for those two countries. Russia would be able to sell more of their energy, and Germans would be able to purchase energy more inexpensively. And the U.S. didn't want to see that happen because we are tied to the petrodollar. We don't want to see the value of the dollar devalued anymore, even though we print it like it's going out of style. And so they wanted to throw a wrench in the works, and they succeeded because Germany then threw cold water on that approval process. So the gas pipeline is on hold right now, the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline, that is. And so basically the U.S. regime got their bullying way, and they stopped the pipeline. But at what cost? Do they care about the loss of life in Ukraine? No, they don't. They really don't, Sam. And
let's
so,
be clear, when you say they don't, the Russian people probably do. The Ukrainian people probably do. It's the government leader thugs that don't care because they have a greater agenda, right?
You're exactly right, Sam. It's the politicians in power. They're the ones vying for power and control. They're the ones who send the average citizen into war, into conflict. They're the ones who spill their blood for the perverse intentions and objectives of the politicians who supposedly rule their country. They're the ones who suffer. Their families suffer. They're the ones who get displaced, run out of their homes, killed, wounded, whatever, not the politicians. So, yeah, when I say that that Russia and Ukraine, they don't care, I'm speaking about their politicians. On the other hand, Sam, you bring up a great point. The actual people, the people of Russia, the people of Ukraine, they do care a whole lot. They're the ones whose lives are affected. And my company employs, 50, 60 developers in Ukraine. Most of them live around Lviv, near or around Lviv, not Kiev, and so they tend to be a little more protected from the conflict than people in Kiev and certainly in the southeastern part of Ukraine. But Sam, I tell you what, I love these people in Ukraine. And I don't want to see them hurt, and they don't want to see the conflict reach their homeland in their, you know, where they live. And it's absolutely satanic what's happening here, Sam. The politicians are pushing these two countries to the conflict, and it's totally unnecessary. It's needless. It's just raw power of government forcing the conflict, and the people don't want it. Ukrainians
Ladies and gentlemen,
don't want
that's
it.
Bad enough for Russia, which has about 145 million people, just so you understand the size, and then Ukraine that has about 43 million people, so Russia's triple the size. It's bad enough that they have a conflict, and I'm sad about that, and I pray for them, and I hope they can fight for freedom and come to a solution. But you know what? The European theater has been fraught with, you know, peril and trouble for centuries, ladies and gentlemen, for millennia. And we need to understand the background of the war and the crisis and what's going on, the history of what's going on. We need to remember the principles that should guide American policy. Bottom line is, keep U.S. out of the war. We're just adding insult to injury, lol. We're making it worse.
That's right, Sam. A gentleman named Stephen Cohen, a world-renowned authority on both the Bolsheviks and contemporary Russia, he wrote this in November of 2019, quote, "For centuries and still today, Russia and large parts of Ukraine have had much in common, a long territorial border, a shared history, ethnic, linguistic, and other cultural affinities, intimate personal relations, substantial economic trade, and more. Even after the years of escalating conflict between Kiev and Moscow since 2014, many Russians and Ukrainians still think of themselves in familial ways. The United States has almost none of these commonalities with Ukraine," end of quote. And your point about the history of these countries in Europe goes to George Washington's farewell address, where he warned us, the U.S., to stay out of European conflicts. Quote, "Europe has a set of primary interests which to us have none or a very remote relation. Hence, she must be engaged in frequent controversies, the causes of which are essentially foreign to our concerns. Hence, therefore, it must be unwise in us to implicate ourselves by artificial ties in the ordinary vicissitudes of her politics or the ordinary combinations and collisions of her friendships or enemies." End of quote. Enmities, I said enemies. I meant to say enmities. End of quote. And so, Sam, where Russia controls, you know, whether Russia controls Ukraine or not, really is none of our business. That's the point George Washington was making. That's the point that Stephen Cohen is making. And in particular, Sam, economic sanctions are a bad idea. That's what everybody is turning to right now. The U.S. is imposing sanctions on Russia. They're encouraging other NATO countries to impose sanctions on Russia. But it's a form of war. It's an economic warfare on the country, Sam. And it doesn't hurt the politicians at the top. It hurts the citizens of the country, at the ones at the bottom. Right, the 500 Iraqi children who are starved to death from 2001 to 2005, right, that the U.S. imposed that sanction on them. How about the millions of people in Yemen who have been sanctioned by countries from 2015 to 2019 who have died of starvation because of these sanctions? Well, what's going to happen in Ukraine and in Russia because of these sanctions? It's more death, more destruction, more chaos, more homeless, more refugees, and the list goes on and on, Sam. Sanctions are wrong. They're immoral. They don't work. They disrupt the world economy, and they reduce the chances for peaceful settlement of, you know, between the two countries, Sam. You know, and it reminds me of what Jason Stapleton says. He says, "Where goods cross borders, armies do not." Just think about that for a second, Sam.
Where goods cross borders, armies do not, or should not, if you will. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, far better and wiser is the old classic liberal foreign policy of neutrality, ladies and gentlemen, and non-intervention. That's what we need to engage in. And you say, well, wait, we can't just let those poor people suffer. I, on one hand, agree. That's why we need to stay out of it, remain neutral, and teach by example a better, more peaceful, economic prospering way. And as we set the example and teach the world to do the same, we can avoid a lot of these conflicts. But when we fund literally both sides of wars, and when we fund supposedly the underdog in these sovereignty-breaching realities that we ought not, we add insult to injury, and it gets worse, not better, is the whole point George Washington and Lowell Nelson are making. Lowell, final words yours.
Well, Sam, it is the fact that neutrality... I was going to mention, yeah, the 2014 regime change operation. See, the U.S. created this problem in 2014, among other things. So I'm just citing that as an example of why our intervention is the wrong answer, Sam. Thank you so much.
And this is also the example of why I say over and over and over, we have a problem, and then when you dig and look, it's because of another problem. We got to have government ratcheted down by the Constitution.